Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Hey. Seems like we got a little rain today, a little drizzle. So the Lord is good, fellas. The Lord is good.
So you're saying you prayed for rain, but you're not going to complain about the mud, right?
Go ahead, Dibs, with your bad self.
Go
Bring
ahead
it home.
With your bad
just
self.
Like you gonna well, be, just like you're
going to looks like me and Pastor Ron are going to be spending some time together. Yeah. luckily, I've already been to a couple of Pastor Ron's services. I didn't introduce myself or anything, but, you know, those boxes have been checked, fortunately.
Yeah.
I snuck in the back.
He's looking forward to it.
Right? Yeah, the air was so bad in Seattle that the Giants had to play a road game at Oracle last night. They destroyed the Mariners. I think 9-3 was the final. So when I was last with you guys about a month ago, a little more than a month ago, I know you just started this bet. Dibs not looking real good for you, right?
No, and you know I would need you know a rampant COVID situation combined with more unplayable air combined with the team just deciding not to play
He's
anymore,
so
which and I nobody wants any of those things. I mean they're sitting 24-24. It's been a nice little story. If you're going to win more than 25 games, and it looks like they're going to, and I'm going to lose this bet, do me a favor, Giants. Make the playoffs. Make some noise. Make this interesting. Don't just win 28. Don't go 28-32 and then get swept by the Dodgers in the first round. That would have pissed me off a lot more than having to sustain having to sustain a couple of days of being spouted propaganda at by a man with a white collar.
Gotta be you know what, Neil?
I'm confident that the Giants are gonna prevail and it's interesting. I went out on blind faith. Everyone was talking about the Giants, but I had faith. Oh, you have a little faith. And the Giants are going to prevail, and Dan Dibley's gonna be in the church twice. And then he's going to go one-on-one with Pastor Ron. You don't know how excited I am for Dibley's to be able to help his soul. Dibley's hasn't been to church since Moby Dick was a Mento. And now he's getting ready to go and say hallelujah.
Moby Dick was a chewable candy.
I haven't heard that one before.
Hey, you listen to the show.
I may not recover. I may not recover from Moby Dick was a Mento.
That was good, Dibs.
Nice guy, Steven. Yeah, I can see him searching up the Mentos theme right now.
Dibs, you're talking about golf. There's out there in Pleasanton, Clapso. You ever played there? It's nice houses. Was it
Calipe? Yeah.
Calipe. What'd you think about that one? Huh. Clappy. What'd you think about that?
Calipe's fun. The 10th hole is patently unfair. But there's a couple questionable holes on the back nine, which leads you to have a long, long wait. I think it's 16, which is the par five that many people think you can get to in two, and so everybody's standing over the ball. It can get slow in the back nine, but I do like the layout. It's beautiful. I laughed. I cried. It was enjoyable.
Hey, Dibs on the text line here, text of the day. It's maybe a winner already. From the 415, Moby Dick, the fresh maker. So that's
that's gold. That's absolutely gold.
Solid. Yeah. So the Giants, woohoo! We're number 8, maybe number 7. I think right now they're tied with the Phillies. And yesterday we found out from the Commissioner Manfred that he says next year they're going to have expanded playoffs. Again, maybe not as many as we have this year, but expanded baseball playoffs. I guess if it helps the Giants get in, makes the season more interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. But I don't think we need expanded playoffs of baseball. If you're going to play 162 games, you're
right.
Just watering down 162 if you're adding more playoff games.
Well, here's how I think you can make it work, Whitey, and I borrow from the minor leagues when I say this. You can have, let's say it's 8 playoff teams per league. So you play the first half of the season, 81 games. The 3 division winners and the team with the best record overall outside of the division winners, those 4 teams are guaranteed playoff berths. So then you start on game 82, and you play a second half. Now, if those same teams win the divisions, then they simply get advanced further in the playoffs, and then the other playoff spots go to the teams that had yet to qualify. So if you have the same 3 division winners win the first half and the second half, then the first half wild card winner would be in, and then the second half of the season, you would then pick the next 4 best teams based on second half record, and those 4 would be the additional wild cards. I think you get immediacy with the first 81, and you also give teams a chance to restart for the second 81. So for me, you can do an 8-team playoff, especially if you do it first half and second half. That way there'd be additional intrigue, and teams that are just floundering, straight trash in the first half, you can really find your way to pull yourself up by the bootstraps and make it count in the second half.
Yeah, I think next year they're talking about not 16, but adding more than they used to, but not as many as they have this year. This year, it makes sense when you only have 60 games. You might as well let other teams in there. We'll see what happens. Whitey in for Coast today. Whitey Lone Dibs. Yes, Lo Neal, the Freshmaker.
How is it going to work with this bubble guy?
Which bubble? There's like 4 bubbles. Everybody
knows
we're going to do a bubble. There's a Texas bubble. There's the Arlington bubble and the Houston bubble and the San Diego bubble and the Los Angeles bubble.
Oh,
talk about it. Come on. Give me the Minto. Come on.
Oh,
come
this on. Is so good. I can see Moby Dick right now swimming around. He's breaching. He's playing in the water.
Yeah.
Right as he's about to spout, out comes this Minto going flying thousands of feet in the air from his blowhole.
Yeah, spouting Mentos.
Back when Moby Dick was a Mentos. Now he's
that's
just a big
on.
Whale, and he's out in the ocean.
I gave you guys some material. I gave you guys some. You guys like Mento, huh?
Yeah.
You had to have Mento.
Moby Dick was a Mentos.
To look at things a new way. I'd never seen the connection between Moby Dick and Mentos before. It's absolutely tremendous. But 2020 is so strange. Would you agree that right now, as we sit here, right now, the Giants appear to have a better shot at the postseason than the 49ers? Isn't that true? Right now. I'm saying right now.
Wow.
As weird as that sounds. Right?
What?
Yes.
No?
No, that's why we're quiet. We're speechless. I'm telling you, that's why I looked at this schedule, guys, and I know you guys are thinking I'm just doom and gloom and all those things. With the injuries and things that the Niners are going through, you got to get a tremendous amount of better play from Jimmy G, your leader. Raheem Mostert, yes, he had a good game in the receiving game, and you know he saw him run the ball pretty effective. But guys, he had 15 carries, didn't even get 60 yards. They got to do a better job up front blocking, to get him out there in space more. You got to do a better job throwing the ball, because if you look at this team, the teams that they have, okay, you should get by the Jets and the Giants. That's why I said these 2 next weeks are must wins. I don't know right now if you were playing the Giants Sunday instead of the Jets. Guys, I think the Giants win. I'm just telling you what I've seen enough from the Giants. I like this young quarterback. You got Saquon Barkley. The quarterback, he can throw the ball. He's got some receivers. That Giant game, to me, guys, is not in the ballot. The Niners ought to thank God, with all the injuries that are going on their team right now, that they have the Jets this week instead of the Giants.
Tibbs, what do you make of this from
anyone?
The 415?
Anything?
Remember
we're
the
pivoting,
commercial.
Low, we're
the
pivoting.
Girl, The girl can't move her car, and the floor guys come over and pick it up for her. Hashtag Freshmaker. Thank you, 888-957-9570. Tibbs, here's a question for you and
memories.
On the text line. Yeah, 888-957-9570. Yeah, they got Mohamed Sanu. Meh, right? I mean, that's nice, but wow, are they that desperate? Good thing Ayuk is ready to play this week. If Jimmy G is a superhero, if all quarterbacks are superheroes, who is Jimmy G?
Man, I would have to say he's probably Green Hornet. You know, he doesn't have any extraordinary superhuman skills, right? But he gets it done. He's got the cool ring, which is his intellect and his moxie, and he's got a pretty snazzy outfit. You know, Green Hornet, good-looking guy. Jimmy G, pretty darn handsome. But, you know, when push comes to shove, he's not going to fly all around the world. He's not going to be able to spin the earth backwards to reverse time. He doesn't have this kick-ass ride like Batman. He certainly isn't Aquaman. I have Aquaman more as like a Matthew Stafford, you know, good in the dome, limited in many ways, but not really a crossover superhero. I got him as Green Hornet, Whitey. Useful, productive in spots. You could win with Green Hornet.
Yeah, Green Hornet's kind of a system superhero, isn't he? I mean, he really
great
is.
Call.
He's not elite.
Great
he's a,
call.
He's a system
He's an earth
superhero.
Manager, Whitey.
I can't. Can you guys remember all the justices when you know on the superheroes where they in the cartoon? You guys can remember all of them. There were so many of them, you know, in the Legion of in the Legion there.
Justice
I can't
League?
Remember of the just yeah. So when you talk, what else are you talking about? The cartoons when we were kids growing up. Remember the Super Friends, superheroes, and it was like 20 of them. So I don't know who he is right now, but right now he's not very good, and he's got to get better, or he's not even a superhero. Right now, he's trying to become one. He's like the little monkey on Wonder Twin powers. You got to make sure, you know, you got to.
Someone else from the 510 says Jimmy G is Jimmy Olsen. Jimmy Olsen was one of Superman's sidekicks. I would go as far as Batman with him. Because, he doesn't have superpowers, but he's got a lot of gadgets at his disposal because Kyle Shanahan, kind of like Morgan Freeman in the Batman movies, makes him available to him. So I would go Batman, I know you think he doesn't have the Batmobile. I think the offense, he didn't have it last week, but I think he has it going forward if everyone's healthy.
I think Batman's a bit of an overreach for Jimmy G. And, you know, you get into a situation where you're 10 minutes away from winning the Super Bowl. Batman closes that out. Now, Green Hornet, I'm not sure if he has the skill set and the moxie in that moment to get the victory. I see somebody more like a Drew Brees as a Batman, somebody who's got, you know, Michael Thomas, which is the Batmobile, and Alvin Kamara as the utility belt, and Sean Payton as Alfred. Don't interrupt me, Lo. I was rolling there, kid. I was rolling.
So,
why don't you build on it?
I wasn't.
No, it. Who's the Robin for? Would Taysom Hill be his Robin, Lo?
Sure. Keep going. You're on the roll.
Great.
Hey, you know what? Let's be honest. I think that Jimmy G's more like Aquaman. Now, let me tell you why. Let me give you guys my analogy. I know you guys are like, wow, why Aquaman? That's kind of a strong take. Aquaman.
Let me just say this. Excuse me. This is low.
You're
let me
doing
just
this? Are you going to do this?
No. I just to set the stage for you, if I may. I apologize.
Set it.
To set the stage. Aquaman for years
set
has
it.
Been considered. He sucks. Aquaman. Boo. But then when Stephen Adams did the movie, the Aquaman movie. I think that was Stephen Adams from the Thunder who did Aquaman in the movie. I mean, that movie was huge. And all of a sudden, I think we see Aquaman a little differently. So I just wanted to establish that before you go forward. I think he's been somewhat elevated in public status, Aquaman. Not as bad as it used to be.
If you could own the sea, that's like owning the air. And Jimmy G's a guy that needs to own the sea and own the air because he's got to throw the ball by air. So if you can own that, what can you do? But it starts, Aquaman is not effective until he can control with this telepathy, control the animals. If Jimmy G can control them and be on the same page as the receivers and be by telepathy and be able to and do that and have those understanding, hey, this is where I'm throwing the ball. This is where I need you to be. My God, tell me Aquaman wouldn't be ideal if he had those sonars that he could get the receivers and send out those little waves to his guys to run the right route, get open. And now Jimmy G could cut it loose and throw the ball where we need it to be. Tell me, guys, you don't want him Superman. You guys want that guy being Aquaman. Boom, drop the mic. That's the superhero he wants to be.
Dibs, how about Jimmy G as Ant-Man? Because when the game's on the line in the biggest situations, hey,
Where'd he go? Where's Ant-Man?
Oh,
shrinking.
Wow.
Oh,
wow.
Shrinking.
Wow.
In the most important moments.
Whoa.
That's tough.
Too much.
That's tough. You
Whitey,
know, I think
too
that
soon.
Is too much. Too much too,
too soon.
Soon. Too little too late to ever try again.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm only talking
mine
about the
was
last
by
two games. Yeah, the Super Bowl.
Mine
and
was by
last
far
week.
The best, but mine by far was the best okay. analogy. Don't you want? Do you not want him to be on the same page? Would you not like when you saw with Jimmy G and the receivers not on the same page? If they were communicating, if he had that type of skill,
it only works when you make the noise, Lo. When you make the Aquaman noise, that's the only reason why you won the bit.
There it is.
There you go.
Now I agree with you.
Sounds like a wounded BART train, is what he sounds like.
Hey, hit the text line. Text line 911 and let them know who's had the better one for Jimmy G. Hit the text line.
Mariana's Trench. Next stop, know. Mariana's Trench.
Woody from Toy Story. Someone says Jimmy G is Woody from Toy Story. People, apparently, some of the smartest listeners in Radio Dibs think that perhaps you are confusing Green Hornet and Green Arrow, but or Green Lantern, actually.
Yeah, green, yeah, Hornet all three. It's an amalgamation sensation of green superheroes. Either way, they're all second or third tier, and if you look at Jimmy G as a quarterback, you can't put him in the elite superhero status. And I'll throw Batman in there just because he's got the kick-ass ride and he's got the cool tool belt, but he's done some big things and some big spots. He's gotten it done. Aquaman, he's more of a tier two, quite frankly, and then you get into your greens, your hornets, your lanterns, your gangs, etc. That's tier three, and then you get into the Wonder Twins monkey low. That'd be tier four, and I think that it's unfair that you cast him in that fashion.
That was uncalled for. That was a cheap shot.
Oh my God, Ant-Man! Oh, you're looking around, Ant-Man. Come on, I think Jimmy G that Aquaman because he's got it. Ant-Man is too hard.
Ant-Man
That's
works.
Too hard. Oh, where's he at looking around? If Jimmy G can where get these he? Receivers on the same page, and they where is he? That was classic. I wish the listeners could see you getting out of your chair, looking around, looking in your booty, trying to find him. That was unreal. So I just think that if you think about Aquaman being on the page that he is, getting on the same page as the receivers, and having that be in sequence, which they need to do, I think that's where he needs to be. And I think if you ask Jimmy G, that's the biggest thing. I want to be on the same page as my receivers. I want them and I to be thinking the same, knowing where I'm going to go with the ball. They knowing where I'm going to go with the ball. And now he's not reacting. He's just letting it go. Right now, you got Jimmy seeing guys open. After he's open, he's trying to get the ball there, not trusting them, that stutter move. So those are the things I think Jimmy G needs to do and receivers need to do. That's why I'm using analogy. Aquaman, they got to get on the same page mentally, physically, all those things.
Speaking of the receivers, you guys tell me if I'm wrong. Mohamed Sanu, I know he has had a fine career. I mean, he's been a really good receiver, but he's been a two for much of his career. And he's been a fine receiver, but to me, it really speaks to how desperate the 49ers are that they bring in Mohamed Sanu, and Shanahan's already talking about, oh, he's great. Maybe he's going to play this week, even though he doesn't get to practice till Friday at the earliest. So nothing against Mohamed Sanu. But last year, New England, what did everyone say about New England? Ah, Tom Brady has no one to throw to, right? Well, they had Mohamed Sanu, and then they let him go. So I know he's had a nice career, but if the 49ers are excited about Mohamed Sanu, to me that suggests they're a little desperate at the position right now.
Yeah, and that can be equally true. They are a bit desperate, and they can also be excited about Mohamed Sanu. When you look at the Patriots situation with Edelman and N'Keal Harry, and Mohamed Sanu, the third wide receiver in that mix, probably doesn't fit. And the Patriots, by the way, aren't going to throw the ball a ton. They might end up throwing it fewer times than even the 49ers do. So you look at the Niners in a situation where you don't have Deebo Samuel, you're hoping Brandon Ayuk can play. He'll be making his debut, no preseason game, and he'll be making a debut in a regular season game. And what you've seen from Pettis and Bourne, you're not thrilled with. So, yeah, you could be a little bit desperate, but you can also be excited to add the player as well.
Pettis. I was on Team Pettis last year, and then I got so tired of the stories this offseason. And maybe it's because reporters weren't able to go actually hang out with the players, but every other story is about Pettis and Shanahan. They've worked it out. Oh, Pettis, whoa, he wasn't on the Super Bowl roster, so he's ready. He's got a new attitude. And the first game, he wasn't there. As far as Mohamed Sanu goes, here's Kyle Shanahan yesterday talking about how excited he is to have his former receiver with him again here in San Francisco.
I mean, that's the benefit of being with someone before, that he's familiar with the offense. you know, he only had 1 year away from it and did some very similar verbiage and stuff in Atlanta even after I left. So he's familiar with it. It's good that we got him done so he can at least listen to our meetings. He can't be here, but he has an idea of the game plan, can see it all. You know, he'll be able to get there out of practice, which is a half-speed practice anyway. So, you know, I think Mo will do his part. He's a pro. He'll learn his responsibilities, what he has to do. And basically the decision of whether he'll play or not probably is going to depend with the health of our other receivers and how that goes this week.
On the text line, 888-957-9570, Mohamed Sanu's a decent receiver. He'll be a good voice in the locker room, but he's never had a 1,000-yard season, and that's what the 49ers need right now.
And I don't know if they need a 1,000-yard receiver now. Right now, they need a guy, in my opinion, Dibs, we talked about it yesterday, that's going to be a chain mover. That's going to be that guy that Jimmy G can throw the ball to that know that he's going to be in the right place at the right time. And that's what Sanu is going to bring to the table. That's what they need, somebody that's been a veteran that's been around the league. So that's why they brought him in.
Yeah, somebody who can just get those 3 to 4 catches. I threw it out yesterday, Whitey.
Yes.
If you could take Mohamed Sanu right now, 15 games for the Niners, if I gave you 60 catches, 500 yards, and 4 touchdowns, would you take that?
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, someone points out on the text line, he was hurt last year. I talked about how last year he didn't do anything. He was injured last year. But he's an older player, too, so that's part of the equation as well going forward. You don't know how much he's going to contribute in terms of your health, and the 49ers already have enough guys who are banged up at that position.
You don't need speed right now, though. You need consistency. Brandon, are
you going to
give
playmaker,
him that speed?
Tell me if I'm
Brandon
wrong. Don't
is
you need a playmaker?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, you're right. Brandon is the playmaker. But what you need someone going to move the chain. You need someone on 3rd and 5 that's going to know where it's man or zone, sit down in the middle of that, and Jimmy G, bam, let the ball go. You need someone on 3rd and 3 saying, okay, I'm going to push it, step on his toes, get him to 4, boom, sit in the hole, and if I get tackled right there, I'm to the 6. You need somebody that's going to bring consistency into that receiving room. That's what you need. You got speed. You don't have consistency. And that's why they're bringing in Brandon.
And that's what they got from Emmanuel Sanders last year. Yeah, and that's
right,
Sanamu
exactly.
Hanui. Then that's, you know, 4 catches a game last year for Emmanuel Sanders over his 10 games. That's exactly what you're looking for. Lowe's right. Somebody who is a veteran can help decipher the coverage, run a 6-yard route
yes.
when you need 5. Sorry, Trent Taylor, but that wasn't getting it done last
right.
week when you needed 5 and he ran a 4-yard route. So the little things,
thank
Whitey's
you.
What Lowe's talking about. You're welcome.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's
yeah.
what I'm
I said
talking about, Whitey.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why. Yeah, thank you, Dibbers. And that's the thing you guys are looking at this thing, and you guys say, oh, it's not a must-win. Let me tell you something. Let's say you win this next
don't
week.
Do
so
it.
That puts you at 1-1.
No.
The following week, you drop to the Giants.
No.
Now you're 2-1. If you go with that first 5 weeks, 6 weeks before the Rams, you might just be 3-3. You look at the Rams. Are you beating the Rams? You beat Miami. You beat Philadelphia. Let's say you win that and you beat the Jets. That's 3. You're not beating the Rams right now with where you're at. And it doesn't look like
whoa.
You're going to beat the Giants. You think about this team. Think about where you're at. That's why I'm saying these next 2 weeks are must. Because right now, if you ask me, do I think they can beat the Rams right now? I'm telling you no. I'm telling you guys no. They're not better than the Rams today.
Well, if they can't beat the Rams, then these games don't matter, Lo. They aren't must wins. If you can't beat the Rams, then it doesn't matter if you beat either one of the New Yorks. Because you mentioned it, the division games are at a premium, and you're already 0-1 in the division. And if you can't beat the Rams, then you certainly can't beat Seattle, and now you're 0-3 in the division. It doesn't matter worth a hill of beans what you do in New York at that point, Whitey.
We'll tackle that one coming up. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Bay Alarm. Also, we'll look at how the 49er offense is suddenly behind the times. When it comes to keeping you and your business safe, Bay Alarm brings the best, like additional safety protocols with enhanced cleaning practices, protective equipment, and social distancing, because nothing matters more than your safety. Now more than ever, Bay Alarm, you're listening to Whitey, Lowe, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
How great was it to have football back last week? As we got something resembling, at least for one day, a sense of normalcy. Whitey, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Whitey in for Coz today and tomorrow. It was especially comforting at our house, Dibs and Lowe, because, and I sent you the video, of course, Moby's up, walking around, it's Sunday morning. Hey, Moby, it's football season. Go get your football. And he actually went, you know, he's got a massive treasure trove of toys. He actually went, retrieved his football, and brought it to me like, yeah, what's up? I mean, that's a...
Friends know better.
Yeah, yeah. That is a proof. Dogs so much smarter than, say, seagulls. That was, it was amazing that he was like, yeah, I'll go get my football. Here you go. What do you want to do with it? Then he looked at me like, well, are you going to throw it for me? Incredible. What an incredible day at Whitey Woods.
Yeah, Whitey Woods. Awesome. Obedience does not equate to intelligence. And when you have trained this dog to do your bidding for your own pathetic social media impact, it's not only sad, it's downright criminal the way you cajole this dog into doing things that are unnatural. It's actually a sign of stupidity that this dog continues to go along with your cockamamie plans. And I defy you, Whitey, to try to train a seagull to do anything of that ilk. Seagull's far too intelligent and far too independent to fall for your, hey, Moby, go get your football, because you know it's September, buddy.
I don't know, Lo. I thought it was pretty cool.
It's
obviously
awesome.
A cat person.
And that's one thing.
It's a cat person talking.
Yeah. You're right. Dogs are very, very unique and very, very intelligent. They have rescued people. I've never seen a bird rescue anyone, but dogs have, and they've been known to do certain things. They help kids with seizures and disorder. They lead the blind. You're absolutely – dogs are friggin' unbelievable. I know birds are good for flying and – good for eating, but
there's a hot
type
take.
Of birds, but
yeah, you're right. You're right. Lo.
So
yeah, you're right. You got
thank you.
Dogs
thank
will
you,
actually rescue humans, and birds will poop on your head. So it's kind of a toss up when you're trying to evaluate
poop on your
Whitey
car,
and I
poop
have
on
had
your
we've had this debate over seagull versus dog since Moby Dick was a Mentos. We've had this debate for that long.
We agree on that.
Yeah, why is it though? Was that needed, Dibs? Was that needed, Dibs?
It was needed because I know Steven had the theme on the short list. I'm just trying to work with Steven right now. These blind throws to San Francisco from my garage unit here in Oakland.
This is new material.
This is my new favorite thing.
Is this your new material you're going to go to now?
I'm trying to see if Steven's paying attention, knowing full well that since Moby Dick was a Mentos, that the theme song would come. He's on fire back there.
I have to ask you guys about something that Lo said this week. I was listening, and I thought it was pretty insightful, and I found some evidence to back it up. Yeah, a couple days ago, you guys were breaking down the 49ers, as few can, let's be honest. And you made the point, Lo, that in some ways, Jimmy G, as a quarterback, is behind the times because there's so many more mobile quarterbacks right now. And I found Cynthia Freeland. She's an analyst with NFL.com now. And she says, rushing threat quarterbacks gave teams a bigger week one edge this season than they have in the past five seasons. So it's just 1 week. But teams with the running quarterbacks, Kyler Murray, Cam Newton, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Deshaun Watson, they gave their teams more of an edge than running quarterbacks have in any of the past five seasons. There are more rushing threat quarterbacks starting in the NFL now. Teams are making more use of their rushing talents than in the past. So in that sense, as you examine the trend, obviously there's more than one way to skin a bird. But is the 49ers offense, is Kyle Shanahan's offense a little out of step with the times? Because it's, you know, Jimmy G, as we said, Batman, Green Lantern, Aquaman, just a pocket passer.
And Lamar Jackson would be considered to be Flash. You know what I'm saying, Dibs? So he was setting you up for that, and I know. So he was setting you up for the drop in Lamar Jackson equivalent to Flash, and Jimmy G is a pocket passer, and that's what we were talking about. I'm not saying that Jimmy is behind times, but I'm just saying, is the league going now with more mobile quarterbacks? Not just Josh Allen, but you look at young Burrows that the Cincinnati Bengals drafted. This guy is just as mobile, if not more mobile, than even in Josh Allen. He's that elusive too. So you look around the league, Aaron Rodgers, mobile. You start looking at these quarterbacks, and when you lay that out, Whitey, those are some of the things that Kyle Shanahan's going to have to look at and have to evaluate. And if you have a great team that, you know, that you could be like a Drew Brees and sit there in the pocket and Tom Brady's, that's fine. You know, but even Big Ben, think about Dibs. His escapability, what he's been through his career. How many times you've seen Big Ben just shake someone off and pick up 5, 10, 15 yards running with being mobile? I think that you have to look at now the mobile quarterback. Take no further, Whitey, like to your point. Look at the Giants quarterback. He gave the Steelers hell, running the ball, scrambling, extending plays with his legs, and that's a good defense that he went against in Pittsburgh Steelers, which they're still a better team, but his legs got him out of trouble.
Tibbs, question for you, and on the text line here, 925 says, teams and owners that have the running quarterbacks value the win more than the health of their quarterbacks, and obviously that was a reason why until... To what, 5-6 years ago, it was like a lot of coaches just, I'm not having my quarterback run. He's going to get killed. He's too valuable. But it was not long ago, Kyle Shanahan's offense and also McVay in Los Angeles, they were seen as the masterminds of the offense of the future. And now all of a sudden, at least in this one sense, it's a little out of step with a current trend. So which is it? Is Kyle Shanahan, is the offense of the 49ers, is it on the cutting edge, or are they falling behind the times in terms of not having somebody who can take off and run when he needs to with the football, a la Spider-Man Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, not bad. I think he's on the cutting edge because if you don't have one of those players, and how many players at quarterback in the National Football League can you really say are a legitimate threat to do damage with their legs and also with their arm? You're talking about six guys, maybe eight at the most, if you want to expand it out. You got Calamari, as we like to call him, Whitey, from Arizona. Calamari, for sure, is one of them. Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson. And then you could get into some of the guys who, like Josh Allen, he's mobile, but he's no threat to rip off 25 yards on a broken field. So, as
oh,
you
yes, he
through,
is.
I don't think so, Lo. I mean, he's mobile.
Tips,
he's
had,
got
he
some
had 60
ability.
The other day.
Yeah. Right. On how many carries did he have? Did he rip off 25? I mean, you had Calamari go over 100 yards. Lamar Jackson was over 1,000 yards. So all due respect to Fireball, Josh Allen's not in that same category. So I'm going to go ahead and reserve him into the next group down. My point is, to what Whitey's asking, Kyle
Sorry
Shanahan doesn't have that opportunity to run that kind of offense because there aren't that many players out there who can do it. Even Tyrod Taylor, the aforementioned L.A. Charger, he could potentially be that kind of guy, but they don't run that system, and he hasn't shown that ability to be that confident being a runner and a passer. So for Kyle Shanahan, he is ahead of the curve doing what he's doing with the personnel he has.
Tyrod Taylor's still more of a pocket passer, but, Lo, here's the thing. As Dibbs was naming these quarterbacks, and he makes a very cogent point, as he always does, if I'm not mistaken, those are all quarterbacks of playoff teams. Those are all quarterbacks of some very good teams, which suggests that, hey, you want an advantage, you find one of these guys. By the way, Russell Wilson, I didn't even mention him. I know Dibbs alluded to him when he said, you know, there's like six guys. Russell Wilson looks like maybe they're gonna let Russ cook this year. So I'm not criticizing Kyle Shanahan, but I think it's a fair point because all of a sudden you've got his offense and his philosophy going one way, and you've got this other divergent philosophy of quarterbacks, and a lot of teams are having success with it, right?
Look at Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is not. He's mobile and he can move in the pocket. He's not necessarily going to go out and get you 100 yards. And Dibbs, you're right when you're talking about those two elite guys. Now, that those guys are way different runners. Those two guys you mentioned, you know, Calamari and what Baltimore have. But then you look at like guys like Patrick Wilson. You look at guys like, you know, Russ, and then you talk about Barrows, where he's going to do far as making plays. Look even in Tennessee. Go look how many yards. Look how many yards Tannehill had last year rushing. You go around the leagues. You're talking about playoff teams. Look at how mobile some of these quarterbacks. Josh Allen had what 400-500 yards rushing, 300-400. They're running more than you think, and it's those hidden yards that think about. If you have 400 yards rushing, you think about how many first downs that clip to. So I think that you're mistaken when you don't think that those quarterbacks get you 8, 10, 15 first downs a year. That's huge.
It is, and I think that you're selling Jimmy Garoppolo a little bit short on the small sample size because we've seen him show some ability to break the pocket and run as well, and famously against Kansas City a couple years ago, he tore his ACL on a running play down the sideline, and that was a time where he should have gone out of bounds, but he cut back and tried to get some of those yak yards you like to talk about, Lo. But ultimately, there are fewer quarterbacks who don't run than there are quarterbacks who do run. And lest we forget Cam Newton, who doesn't necessarily break wide outside the pocket on huge runs, but he's a running threat. And you're going to see them run. They run zone read basically every snap now in New England. It's quite a change for Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, it's incredible because they're running an offense similar to what Denver ran when Tim Tebow was the quarterback. A lot of success last week in week one for running quarterbacks. A lot of success last year or so. But mobile quarterbacks are really tearing up the NFL, and Jimmy G is not a mobile quarterback. So is the 49er offense a little bit behind the times or just a different philosophy? On the text line here, 888-957-9570 from the 925 low. Are we disregarding the Super Bowls won by quote-unquote elusive quarterbacks Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, Joe Flacco, Nick Foles, etc.? Mahomes isn't a runner either. That's from BR Cracker. So are we overlooking the success teams? I would say, well, that's in the NFL. That some of those guys won. It was eons ago in NFL terms.
Yeah, those, a lot of those guys that he mentioned, you're right. They won a while back. And here's the thing. You don't have to, but now the league, how fast the interior linemen are moving around, especially they're paying guys that are playing the three techniques, so quarterbacks usually can be able to step up. Now how many of these plays are made on busted plays? You're right. They did win it, you know, guys that necessarily are not mobile. Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, those guys, they're friggin', those are elite. That's like Dibbs making the point of Russell Wilson and Lamar Jackson. They're elite runners. These guys are elite passers. Think about those guys are elite as another elite. Even Big Ben and Aaron Rodgers, they're mobile. It's not that they can run and hurt you necessarily, get 100 yards rushing a game. I get that. But at the same sense, they're mobile, can get out of the pocket, get out of harm's way, make plays with their legs, pick up first down, keep the chains moving. Those quarterbacks are dangerous. So I'm not talking about Lamar Jackson. Those guys, you ain't going to find those type of guys everywhere. They don't grow. You don't grow those type of guys. But the Big Ben, there's a lot of other guys that are a lot more mobile, Dibs, that we're not talking about.
Right, and it's just a question of how much mobility we're talking about, the ability to break the pocket
right,
and, you know, run out of bounds and get a first down. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers has been able to do that. Josh Allen, even Ryan Tannehill is a guy who's shown some mobility. And
yeah,
you know, you're right. The days of Big Ben statuesque sitting back there and, you know, even Drew Brees, who doesn't run a lot, and Tom Brady, we still have some of these quarterbacks, but more and more, you've got to have the ability to break it down and get five or seven and slide or get out of bounds.
Yeah. Tell me if I'm wrong here, Lo. Here's how I see Jimmy G and you having, you know, you're nominated for the Hall of Fame again, which we'll get to top of the hour. So obviously you've got a unique perspective on professional football. Jimmy Garoppolo, my thought going into last week was Jimmy G is a very good quarterback with a chance to be an excellent quarterback if he just minimizes bad throws and turnovers. But after last week, it was one of the rare losses for Jimmy G as a 49er in which he didn't turn the ball over at all and they still lost. He wasn't very accurate. Now, we know that he didn't have his favorite targets. Kittle was banged up, so that's certainly part of it. But is it accurate to say, look, if Jimmy G just takes care of the ball, he's going to be an excellent quarterback? Or now do we have to reevaluate and say, wow, there are some accuracy issues in play?
Jimmy G is going to have to be more than just accurate. Jimmy G, he's going to have to be accurate, but Jimmy G is going to have to make plays. Jimmy G is going to have to win more games this year. Let's face it. We talk about the league. We talk about Capicot League, copycat, and we talk about teams get used to certain things that you do, so you're going to continue to have to adjust. And the Niners are going to go through some of those growing pains. So what are they going to do to adjust? How are you going to make sure that your quarterback can still be very, very effective? That's attention to details. Because every week, the running game's not going to be just running for 102, 300 yards rushing. It's not going to happen. Every week, Jimmy G, we know, is going to throw for 400 yards. I get it. That's why it's a team sport. But when Jimmy G is called upon, like last week, Jimmy G needed to make a couple throws. That wide open touchdown could have been a walk-in, you know, double move, Peterson stops his feet, the receiver beats him by 6 yards. Hell, Whitey, Peterson just held his hands up and just was running, hoping that Jimmy wouldn't hit him, and the ball hit him in the back
the
of the head.
Yeah.
In the helmet. That's a layup. That's like missing a layup. So you can't do that. You know, on the fourth down, you know, it's an out route, he holds the ball, and he throws it behind him. That's a layup. And everyone acts like that was a great defensive play. He missed a lot. And he, you know, so they have to understand that. And Jimmy does understand that. Moving forward, that's why they went out and got Sanam Anu. They went out and get out a guy receiver that's going to make sure that Jimmy can feel is comfortable. You need to make sure that he feels more comfortable in trusting guys. And right now, that first game, There was a trust issue there. There was a timing issue there. I don't care what you say. There was a trust and definitely a timing issue, and the timing was off.
Yeah, Dibs, it's clear that Jimmy G did not have anybody to throw to, and I thought Jordan Reed was going to be more involved. So is that fair to say, yeah, he was inaccurate, but he didn't have anybody who got any separation. That's why they got Mohamed Sanu. He can't be too hard on Jimmy G's accuracy last week because the receiving corps was in tatters.
Well, you can be hypercritical because you look at the plays of the game and you threw high to George Kittle and he got his knee popped. Ugh. And now he's unable to practice and he's going to be questionable. Yeah. His status is up in the air for not only week two, but quite frankly,
yep,
week three as well. So, and that one was on Jimmy G. That ball was thrown way too high and Kittle got hurt as a result of stretching for the ball. And Lowe mentioned it. The double move, the stop-and-go route, as soon as you see the corner stop his feet, you throw the ball. And these are not my words. These are words from Michael Irvin in the afternoon show. He talked about it, and Lowe reiterated it. And that's a throw where that's an absolute walk-in touchdown. So I understand you didn't have Pettis getting open. Kendrick Bourne wasn't there, and you didn't have George Kittle
Trent
in the
Taylor's
second half.
Not, yeah, yeah.
Trent Taylor's not quite there yet. However, the throws you did have that were there, you threw high to Kittle, he got hurt, and you had a gimme touchdown that you underthrew. So those ones squarely go on Jimmy G, and those were game-changing moments.
So it's two different things, right, Lowe? On the one hand, yeah, you could employ a more mobile quarterback, but then you'd have to adjust the system. And the Shanahans, of course, they had RG3 in Washington, so they can do that. But if Jimmy G is more accurate, you don't necessarily need a more mobile quarterback. But if he's not more accurate, you're going to have to do something at some point. We're just not there yet.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of, like you know, we're all alluding to, didn't have Debo, didn't have a lot of these guys. We get that.
Yeah.
But you still got to make plays. You and that's the thing about it. There are some things in there that you just can't do. And yes, I think that this is a situation, if the window is open for winning right now and you need to win a Super Bowl within the next 2-3 years, if you're saying that, you got to make hay while the sun is shining. And because this window will close and you got a lot of guys, 17, that's the number, Whitey, 17 free agents next year that you got to try to see if you can get those guys under cap and make sure you get these guys a contract. So what do you do now? That's the big question. What do you do now?
All right. What we're going to do is we're going to irresponsibly speculate about an injury, because I know you did it on Twitter, Dibs, and I was doing it too. On Kittle, fingers crossed. We had some somewhat vague comments from Shanahan yesterday about how he's got a sprained knee and he's battling through it. I wouldn't be surprised if there's more damage in there. Again, it's irresponsible. I know you tweeted something about you had your immediate diagnosis. I was thinking right away, wow, meniscus damage. I think it may be more than just a knee sprain.
Dr. Irresponsible, please report to the operating room. Dr. Irresponsible.
Stop. Nurse, stop. I'm here. Yes, I've got it diagnosed as a grade 1 MCL sprain is what it is. Just a grade 1.
Okay.
Not a grade 2.
All right.
Not 5.
Okay.
Not 6. Just a grade 1. You could see, and this is an injury
five,
he's had
not
before.
Six, not 7.
I mean, if it's a grade 7 MCL sprain, you have no leg, basically, is what happens there, which I had it as an MCL. The hyperextension usually affects the MCL, but he was able to come back and play. So I got it as a grade 1, nothing terrible. I actually was talking to my doctor earlier this week. Shout out Michael Krinsky, the great doctor, former Warriors surgeon. And, yeah, we were talking about the difference between...
How did you get a doctor like that? I mean, good for you.
I've got juice, Whitey. I've got East Bay juice, 20 years here in the East Bay.
Nice.
And, when you're able to get to a Dr. Krinsky... You go ahead and do that.
Most impressive.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Nice.
And he was actually explaining to me the difference between a sprain and a strain. A sprain speaks to a ligament. A strain is a muscle or a tendon.
Ah.
So if you're dealing with ligaments, you can talk sprain. If you're dealing with the others, muscles, tendons, then you're talking about a strained tendon. You wouldn't talk about a sprained tendon. It'd be a strained tendon. So for me, again, Dr. Irresponsible, please report to surgery. I've got it as a sprained ligament, the MCL, and it's grade 1.
All right, so if he continues to play on it, Kyle Shanahan says, yeah, he could go this week. Is it going to get better at some point? Do we know how much that contributed to his absence in the second half? I mean, it's not unrealistic to think, wow, he sprained his knee, he couldn't get open. But how long does that continue if he's not able to rest it, Dr. Irresponsible?
I think it's a case where you're more ripe for re-injury if you go back out there and play on it immediately. And Lowe knows very well the Rice technique, rest, ice, compression, and elevation.
Elevation. Yeah.
Yes, and that's certainly, I'm sure he's going through all the treatment, all the stem, and he's trying to get ready as he can for this week two game. If it were me, at first blush, I would tell George, we're going to sit you out, George, for the Jets game. We want you ripe and ready for the Giants game. And Lo, I don't know how you feel about that. Can they beat the Jets, meet the Jets, beat the Jets? Mm. Can they do that without George Kittle?
I think they can. I think that it's great that Brandon's back. And if I'm the offensive line, like, you know, you got a boy dog in Trent, and that guy can, he's a road grader. Your offense, you're getting Ben Garland back, a center who's, you know, his ankle's better now. You got to come out and be dominant running the ball. There's no excuse. And we know Raheem Mostert, what he can do. You get him in the open field. It's about just giving him space. If that offensive line can blocks and holds up, they can have a field day running the ball. You got to break their will. This is a game that you need to break their will. And if you start having success running the ball, now you can do your play action to turn protection, move certain guys around. Now the middle of the field and other things are going to open up. But you got to have that running game. It's got to be, you cannot abandon the run. You need to go out there. You got to convert on third down. Last week, hell, guys, how many third down did they convert? How many fourth downs did they convert? Think about what this team did last year. This is not, that's not Super Bowl playing ball. And there's no excuse. There's no excuse for you to look at them on third down and you converted, what, one in the second half, if that?
Not five,
I don't even
not
think
six.
They did. So, yeah. Think about that.
Not five,
so,
not
so
six,
and you think,
not
and you think you're going to be a championship football game? You think you're a championship football team? Let's look in the mirror, guys. You cannot win in the National Football League if you don't convert on third down. So they have to do some soul searching. It's early. I get it. You lost a game. It's not the end of the world. But let me tell you, Dibs, you didn't play well, Dibs. You didn't play well at all.
No, you didn't make the plays in the big spots either. You mentioned third down conversions, fourth down conversions. We talked about the high throw to Kittle. We talked about the missed throw on the stop-and-go route to Kendrick Bourne. But how about the execution inside the five when you got stuffed on fourth and goal? You were trying to punch it in. And, of course, Whitey, we talked all week about the block punt that really did turn that game. So this is to not just drill down on Jimmy G and put the L on the G. This was a team loss. Jimmy G missed throws, but the breakdown in special teams cost you 7 points, and the offense not punching it in cost you 7 points. That's a 14-point swing, Whitey. I got to tell you.
Yeah. Dante Johnson, I know, got excoriated for not protecting the properly on the punt, but he had two guys trying to block. Two guys, from what I saw. Question for you, Lo. You look at Raheem Mostert, his yards per carry last year, off the charts, well over 6 yards a carry. Of course, Breida also last year was better than 6 yards a carry. This week, under 4 yards a carry. And, you know, that happens sometimes. Arizona has improved defensively. But how much of that had to do with the injuries along the interior of the offensive line and the fact that he had a backup center playing last week against Arizona?
It hurts so much. And that's what people don't realize. Because now if the center gets penetration where the nose penetrates and pushes the center's back. If you're moving the ball now, you and he gets 2 feet in the backfield, you've cut off the backside. How many times have you seen Raheem Mostert put his foot in the ground and get north and south and get east and west, go down, go up the field? But if the center is too far in the backfield, you cut off that backside. You can't do a lot of plays. You can't do. They used to do that wrap draw, Dibs, where the fullback starts to the left and then they wrap back to the right. You didn't see them do that play at all. Why? Because they were getting beat at the point of attack, far as the center. So when you're playing with your third and fourth string center, let's be honest, that really is a huge factor. I was surprised there was no more turnovers. I was surprised center and quarterback exchange. That was good, though. They got that done. But, yes, it hurts a lot. But they got to get better. I don't care who's in there. You can't say, oh, it's just a center. Yes, it did have an effect on the game. But let me tell you, it's the National Football League. A lot of teams have to go back. It's next man up. You got to find a way. You got to find a way to win, and you got to find a way to be productive and do other things that's going to give you an opportunity to run the ball better.
Lo, one thing I don't understand about Jimmy G, maybe you can explain it to me, and I know that we get carried away week to week. He's the greatest ever. He's always the worst. They got to get rid of him. But I don't understand. Dibs talked about the bad throw to Kittle.
terrible throw. Kittle gets hurt. Yeah. It reminded me of last year.
Yeah.
How many
yeah.
times did Jimmy G have in the flat or on the swing pass? He had yeah. Coleman wide open, and he couldn't connect. And that's the strangest thing to right. me, because that's the simplest pass. And I've seen Jimmy G struggle with that quite often. Am I imagining things, or have you seen that too? Because no. it's kind of hard to understand.
No, you're not imagining anything. And these things are happening. But I just think that everyone's got to just simmer down. I know every time I say this, Dibs, you know, you're like, "Whoa, I have to." But I think that they're putting too much pressure on Jimmy G. I think because the team is ready to win now, everyone thinks that Jimmy G should just be crushing it, killing it, just doing all the things. And he's only in his second year. This, you got to realize, Whitey, this is his second year as a starter, a full-time starter in the NFL. This is him, that this is his job. And everyone thinks that this guy should be playing at the level of Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees. That's unfair. I really believe that's unfair. Now, does he need to play better? Yes. But what everyone's expecting for a second-year player as a starter, I don't know if we're asking Jimmy too much.
I bristle at the second-year starter notion. And
I know.
I can't allow that to stand. And I understand, Lo,
I know.
That he has started 27 games in the National Football League in the regular season, and he started three more in the postseason. But this is a guy who is in his seventh year in the National Football League. So he's witnessed more than 112 games, including three seasons, with the ultimate tutelage, watching Tom Brady, the way he carries on, the way he prepares, and one of the greatest coaches in football history, Bill Belichick. So I can't give him the second-year moniker. This is a guy in his seventh year, coming up on being 30 years of age. And I know he hasn't started more than two seasons worth
right.
of games, but the fact that he's been around, I don't think that it's fair to give him that second-year QB moniker.
I'm not necessarily giving him a pass, guys.
Yeah, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco Radio.com sports station. All right, using our superhero analogy, Jimmy G, we agree he's maybe, who'd you say, Aquaman, Lo? But who do they need him to be? The 49ers need him to be at least Captain America or Batman, right? And last week he was barely Aquaman, right?
Yeah.
I don't think they need him to be Captain America. They don't need him to be that dominant. They just need him to be game manager superhero.
Yeah, you're right. Right. So I think he being Aquaman is going to help. Because last Sunday, man. We all admit he was not on the same page. Why? Because here's the thing. If he's Aquaman, then guess what? The receivers will be running the right routes. If he's Aquaman, he would let the ball go at the right time. If he's Aquaman, because he knows what his fish, he knows what they're going to do with sharks, whatever they might be, Moby Dick, a minnow,
Minto,
whatever it may be, he would be on it. So if that, thank you, Steven, thank you. So if that was the fact, if that was the case, don't you think the timing and all that would have been better because they were on the same wavelength? That's why he just needs to be Aquaman, and Aquaman would have won that game because once Peterson stopped his feet, Aquaman would have knew, and he would have let the ball go, and it would have been a touchdown, strike up the band.
On the text
That's
line,
why Aquaman.
Dibs?
Yeah.
Yeah. 888-957-9570. LOL, how good was Lamar Jackson in his second year? How good was Patrick Mahomes in his second year? Jeff in Sunnyvale shoots and scores. From the 916, you can't be Aquaman if you can't stay afloat. And then from the 707, from the 707, I hate to be such a dork, but in the comics, Aquaman is as strong as Superman and Wonder Woman. So there's that.
Right, can Aquaman fly?
Thank you.
No. Does he have an invisible plane? No. All he's got is this crazy, weird ability to coincide with and communicate with sea life. Quite frankly, he's nothing more than that geek who works 40 hours a week at the fish store selling guppies to eight-year-olds.
No. I used to work at a fish store. I had several jobs in high school at aquariums and fish stores.
What fish store in Vallejo was it, Kev?
Moore's Aquarium and also The Pet Shop, SHOPPE.
Ooh, classy.
On Springs Road. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, a rough day one day.
Hard
when,
man, hard me and the Pet Shop Boys.
Me and the owner's nephew is like, all right, you guys, you got the store. And, yeah, we were the Pet Shop Boys, and we lost, like, an African gray parrot flew out the window.
Oh, boy.
And, yeah, that was
a
rough that was a rough, that was a rough day.
Well played. 4.6 stars for the Pet.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.